You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the program. Great to have you with us from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Starting to rain on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Could see some rain throughout the evening. Nothing severe right now. No warnings in effect. There is a watch, a severe thunderstorm watch, if you go to our west. Pretty much Marshalltown on down toward Des Moines in that area. So if anything does change, we will be sure to let you know about it. We got a great program and a jam-packed show for you coming up today. Jeff Linder was going to be with us tomorrow. I had to change the plans. He's going to be with us coming up today. So we will take a look at state volleyball, the high school football playoffs, state cross country championships coming up in Fort Dodge this weekend. We'll talk all about that with Jeff. Maybe a little, if we got some time, maybe a little women's basketball as well. And then Kevin Payne will join us to answer your fantasy football questions. And his appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. So get those questions in on the text line. You can do it right now, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And that is the phone line as well, 319-366-1600. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me from the back porch on the southwest side. Isaac on the other side of the glass, all assembled and ready to go today. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone. Yeah, it got a little bit dark on the back porch, but we're good. We'll give you an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard and Bowling Night in America preview as well.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Maybe raining, but Bowling Night in America trudges on. Are you watching Man City in Tottenham, Isaac? Whoop, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've got Man United in Leicester City. It's okay. Going much better for Man United than it has the previous. It feels like forever. As a Man United fan.
I figured you were watching one of those two soccer clubs.
Soccer is usually a pretty safe bet as to what I've got on my phone back here. I am always working, too. I want to point that out. I'm always working.
We would like to point out to America that Isaac is very good at doing his job, but
I want to go very good. I'm all right.
You are very good.
Okay.
You are very good. Hey, you're doing it morning and evening now.
That's right.
Morning and evening now. So, as I mentioned, Jeff Linder is going to join us coming up here in just a couple of moments. And we do have a World Series game tonight. That is game number 5 between the Yankees and the Dodgers, 6 o'clock for you right here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports, with a 7 o'clock or 7:12 first pitch scheduled. Yankees come from behind, Mark. Big way to win last night. And the home run ball was big for the Yankees. A very interesting game, to say the least. But now Gerrit Cole gets the ball tonight for New York. Can you see a path that this goes back to Los Angeles, perhaps?
I sure can, but Jack Flaherty's on the mound, scheduled to be, for the Dodgers, and he's been good as well. So some folks think it was maybe a throwaway game for the Dodgers, and maybe it was. But the Yankees capitalized, and did the Dodgers allow the Yankees to light a spark? We'll see. But I know two people that aren't going to be there at Yankee Stadium tonight.
That would be Austin Capobianco and John Peter, the two fans that were dismissed from Yankee Stadium after the very first batter in the bottom of the first inning for the Yankees, as a they had their apparently choreographed performance. They had this plan all through the year. That's their season ticket seats, and they had it all worked out, and it worked almost to perfection for those two, I guess. Well, it did, because they wrestled the ball away from Mookie Betts, but the umpire was right there, made the correct call, and then those two gentlemen were shown the door. Now, earlier this morning, the Yankees said they were coming back for game number 5. I don't know if all was forgiven, but they were coming back, and Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball said, no, 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 no. That is not going to happen.
And it shouldn't. That was a foolish move, and the fact that it was pre-planned, apparently, it's, you know, I just shake my head at it. You remember, Betts, in reaching into the stands, he was kind of suspended, and they were grabbing at his glove, and, you know, could have damaged or hurt his wrist, whatever. That's just stupid.
I agree with you. One, I don't know which of the two it was, but one grabbed Mookie Betts by the right hand. The other one took the ball out of the glove of Mookie Betts, pried it out of there, and he accomplished what he set out to do. The umpire, though, remember, there are left field line and right field line umpires, though, in the Major League Baseball playoffs, including the World Series. They made the correct call. It was fan interference. It was an out. Now, Mookie Betts said after the game, you know, to a certain extent, all is forgiven. It wasn't a big deal. We move on. We're going to try to win this thing here tonight. But I agree wholeheartedly with you. And we don't have enough time today to talk about this, but we are going to talk about it tomorrow on the first part of the program, since we had to move Jeff to today. This is becoming an epidemic, Isaac. Fans are not supposed to be a part of the game, and they are becoming part of the game.
You're talking to a soccer fan.
Yeah,
come on.
You see it in soccer, unfortunately, way too often, whether that's people running out onto the field to get pictures with specific players. I know we had the Texas incident with fans throwing stuff on the field. That's been something in soccer that's happened all the time. If you watch any USA against Mexico match, I feel like every time USA has scored and then had a corner, they're getting beer tossed on them in that corner, unfortunately.
It
shouldn't happen, and it does happen. It feels like every single time USA and Mexico play, and it doesn't, not necessarily only that game, but a lot of different games. So it's unfortunate, and I don't know what you need to do, but something, it can't continue like that. It's pretty unacceptable, I think.
Well put. Well put. 319-366-1600. Matt Fairfax says, dude grabbed his wrist. What if they hurt Mookie? Ban them from Yankee Stadium. I'll go beyond this. Ban them from every stadium in Major League Baseball. How's that, Mark? I think they should be anyway.
I don't think they want to be anywhere but Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. And 6897 saying the same thing. The one that grabbed his wrist should be banned by Major League Baseball. Could have caused an injury. Never let him in a stadium again. I could not say it any better. You do not want to injure somebody like that. Bottom line. And it's, listen, it's a whole different thing than the Bartman thing. People were talking about that last night, and first of all, let's put that to bed. It's been how many years now since that happened? We cannot forget about it. There was also the incident in the old Yankee Stadium in the Oriole-Yankee playoff series way back when, leaning over and with the home run ball in right center field at that particular time. So maybe this is a Yankee Stadium thing. I don't know.
I think it's worse that Yankee fans were celebrating the two afterwards. I think that just gives a really, really bad look for the fan base. Not that Yankee fans are, you know, known for their great sort of fandom or anything like that, but it's just a really bad look to be celebrating that after the fact.
I would agree. I would agree. No, those two should be banned and arrested. Banned for life and arrested, says Greg in Epworth. That was absolutely idiotic. Going for the ball is one thing. Mookie clearly caught it. If he had got hurt, the Yankees should have had to forfeit. Well, I don't think that was going to happen, but I get your point, Greg. I get your point. And no, the fan did not make a great play. Said, I'm sorry. They admitted it. In true New York fashion, that they had this thing cooked up for the entire year, that they were guarding that right field corner at Yankee Stadium as only they can. And they finally had the opportunity to do it. And John Smoltz was having, they're not going to be around very long. And Joe Davis said that too. 319-366-1600. We're going to have more on that coming up tomorrow. We're going to get Jeff Linder on the line from the Cedar Rapids Gazette and talk with him. Plenty of things going on in the world of high school sports, and we're going to get that. We're going to get to him coming up in just a couple of moments here. And answer the question for 96-63, Mark. How do you ban two guys from the game? Can they come in a different gate? You can ban them. I mean, there are ways in this world in the 21st century, in 2024, you can keep people out of a ballpark.
Yeah, I don't know how all that works with checking you don't check IDs, you don't check IDs for other things that are far more important. So, I don't know how that procedurally works and on game day, but I'm sure they have a way of keeping the two guys out of there. I don't know. I'm not a gatekeeper.
Don't reach into the field of play. Don't throw things on the field of play, et cetera, et cetera. Simple, simple instructions in life. All right, we need to get to Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He joins us here on a Wednesday edition of the program, and you can read his stuff online at thegazette.com. And Jeff, the busiest guy maybe in Eastern Iowa right
now. No. Let's stop that nonsense. How are you?
Good. You're heading to Grinnell tonight, right?
Grinnell tonight. Fort Dodge Friday. Yeah.
Fort Dodge Saturday. It's a twofer.
Yeah.
We got volleyball. We know 3A, 4A, and 5A, the state pairings. They were set up last night with the regional finals. We got 1A and 2A. We don't know the state tournament brackets for those, but do you, in your crystal ball anyway, is there an upset in the making that perhaps could take place tonight in 1A or 2A?
Oh, boy. Let me take a look here. We sure didn't have much last night, did we?
No, I think one.
North Central, that was it. Yeah, maybe. I don't know who. All those matchups in 2A with the North Iowa Cedar League teams against each other, something funky might happen there, but... I don't see anything that's really. I'll tell you, I think the North Tama River Valley match is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So, those rivals go way back. So,
I was going to ask you about that. This is we've had this before. Not so much with the neutral sites that they're going to have for the finals, regional finals, in 1A and 2A, but we have had in the past some. Iffy regionals of teams maybe in the finals from 200 miles away, et cetera, et cetera. We hit this on steroids this year.
Oh, boy. There's about three 1A matches that, creativity is fine and everything, but, boy, that's
I'm not sure it's a good thing.
No, I'm not either. I know they want to get the best teams there, but just seems like that was a little bit much. I mean, Janesville and Southwest Valley and Don Bosco and Sydney. Okay.
I mean, Sydney is almost in Nebraska.
Almost in Missouri.
Yeah.
Almost in Kansas. So it's closer to Kansas than it is Gilbertville. How's that sound?
Jeff, before we get to state tournament matchups last night, no, we didn't really have many upsets per se, but Marion really was engaged in a terrific match with Carroll. I don't know how much you heard about that, but it ended up a 3-2 Indians loss.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A tough one to swallow.
Yeah, it was a typical, 8 versus 9 or 9 versus 10 or whatever it ended up being match, and home court matters, and Carlisle was able to get it done.
Taking a look now, 3A, 4A, and 5A. We know the state pairings that will be starting up Monday down at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Let's start with, let's just take a thumbnail sketch at 5A. As usual, it's kind of the CIML Invitational, if you will. But the top seed and number one is a non-CIMLer, and that's Pleasant Valley, Cedar Falls in from the MVC. How do you take a look at that?
I don't know. They're all good. You know, those CIML teams play each other all the time, and they're all really good. I think you throw Indianola in there too, even though they're technically what Little Hawkeye or whatever that is. But yeah, I think you know all those teams will be really good. So what did the CIML get? They get six, five in.
They got five. Yeah.
So both Waukees, both Ankeny's and Dowling. So, I haven't really dissected it much as far as picking a winner. You know, Pleasant Valley's really good. They beat Mount Vernon once. And I don't know. I just think you could kind of flip a coin and among about four or five teams and have a chance of being right.
4A, you got Xavier as the top seed and the top team in the ratings. Saints making another appearance, but it's a loaded 4A field up and down the line. You got Clear Creek Amana back after the stumble in the semifinals last year. It's kind of the who's who here. North Scott, Helan,
yeah.
Clear Creek, Xavier, Pella, they're all there.
Yeah, I don't know how much I'd say that was a stumble last year. North Scott was just the best team in the tournament that week, and you know they played as well as anybody in any class that week. So, but yeah, I like Xavier. I kind of like a Xavier North Scott final. You know, got a bone up here a little bit on Helan, but I would say the Saints and the Lancers are probably the two best teams there.
You're going to be busy in 3A, Jeff, and that you could really create a lot of different scenarios, but Mount Vernon is the number one seed there. How do you look at 3A?
Yeah, and, you know, before the season, I'd say Mount Vernon would be a heavy, heavy favorite to win the thing, but, boy, you can't bet against Western Christian too much. West Delaware's good. They play such a unique style of ball. Waller, Assumption, you know, two veteran teams, you know, with Western and Waller, you've got two of the three biggest all-time, you know, dynasties in volleyball in Iowa. You know, Dyke New Hartford would be the other. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Mid-Prairie to see how well they can compete with Mount Vernon in the first round.
So if it's West Delaware and Mount Vernon in the finals, do we just move it outside then again?
Yeah, there you go. They've got the court. They can just where can they play it down there? Just, you know, throw it in the parking lot and play.
That would be all right. And, yeah, the Mount Vernon prowess, I mean, and Coach Wilms has talked about it. It's the heavy is the shoulder of the favorite,
yeah.
And they certainly have the target on their back.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, for however you want to spin it, you know, they've got the two transfers, and I'm sure there's some schools around the state that don't like it. But you know, one of them's going to Arkansas to play volleyball, and one of them's going to Evansville to play basketball. So they're two very, very good athletes. And, yeah, I don't know how much pressure they feel inwardly, but outwardly the expectations are there that they should win it.
You've seen some quality football this year, Jeff. You were in Lisbon Friday night, and you know, some of the things that stand out to me, it was a great year for Iowa City schools for making the playoffs, and a couple metro teams are in. But any particular things stand out in the postseason that's coming up?
Well, I think all of the metro / Iowa City teams, you know, have games that are going to be very challenging, but I think very winnable games. Waukee isn't your stereotypical 16 seed coming over to play Liberty. I think that'll be a good game. And Lindmar going over to Ankeny, and what, you know, like we were podcasting earlier, what time are you guys setting the over under for kickoff time for Wimar and
8:55
Yeah. I'm gonna go 8:55
Yeah, well, we were saying 9:05 So I think we're all kind of in the, you know, in the ballpark there. But Xavier goes over to Norwalk, and that'll be challenging also. But you know, not a death sentence that you think, oh, they're gonna go over there and get pounded.
Interesting this year, and I believe I got this attested to, the fact that first time ever there is not an undefeated team in the biggest class in the state of Iowa. I don't know if it's parity. There's just a lot of really good 5A football teams this year.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. And the Metro teams were good enough to play with, you know, the Central Iowa teams. Prairie beat Pleasant Valley, and that was certainly a good win for them. And you know, Cedar Falls is, you know, decent ball club, and PV and Bettendorf obviously are very good, and the Iowa City teams. So, you know, I wouldn't say it was a great year in the Metro. It's kind of Linmar's torch to carry now, and Xavier and Foray.
Some of the best venues to be at Friday night, I think, Jeff, would be Independence and Van Horn.
Absolutely. Those two quote-unquote WOMAC games will be terrific. You know, there's just a lot of good 3A football around here, whether it's, you know, Williamsburg and Solon and Benton and Indy and West Delaware, which didn't even make it. And what, you know, we haven't even talked about Dubuque Wallert, 9-0. They've had a really good year. They, you know, they won the district that had Independence and West Delaware in it. So that's obviously a good team.
3A, I think, might be the best 16 from top to bottom. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. 3A, 4A, probably 5A, too. I think there's not a lot of drop-off from 1 to 16. I don't think we can say that for the four other classes. I think 2A, there's a definitive top four. 1A, I think Grundy and Dyke probably are quite a bit ahead of everybody else. A, you got West Hancock, St. Ansgar, and same district that might be the cream of the crop there. And an eight-player, who knows? What do we have? I think we have six undefeated teams in eight-player, and I'm just not sure what the pecking order that is. I guess we'll figure that out here in the next 4 weeks.
You saw Lisbon. How good are the Lions?
They're very, very fast. Very fast. And they play good defense. They're giving up about 3 points a game. And, you know, they've got some playmakers. Tiernan Boots was a state runner-up in the 100 last year. So they've got athletes.
Well, the two-year cycle is up this year for some schools anyway. Do you expect any changes or modifications to what we've seen the last couple of years?
Well, I've heard there's a possibility they might go to committee in picking the 16 teams, at least in 5A, which, boy, I don't think I'm a very big fan of. You know, I'm kind of lukewarm to pretty warm on the RPI. I think it's a pretty good system. I don't know how much you want to get the human factor involved. It's, you know, as far as just so many opinions out there and all that. I just don't know. I just don't like the potential subjectivity to it.
Yeah, because I think you're going to be leaning toward and. Yeah, we're all going to agree. Are the best 16 teams in 5A in the playoffs? Probably not. But if you go to a committee, I mean, what's that do to the Ottumwas and the Waterloo Wests and the, you know, the Davenport Wests that had a great season last year? I don't think they get in then.
Right, and Waterloo West isn't a bad team. I don't know if they're one of the top 16, but you know, they earned their way there, and you look at their schedule, and it's better than people think.
True. You've got cross country coming up on Friday and Saturday. What are the local headlines that you're going to be hopefully writing about?
Well, I think we've got a lot of good storylines, and it's all going to get posted here in a little, probably sometime tomorrow. Quentin Nauman from Western Dubuque has had a terrific season. He'll be going head-to-head with Keenan Dunham, the defending champ from Pella in the 3A boys race. I think that's going to be a really good storyline. 4A boys, got some pretty good area kids. Keegan Decker from Liberty is maybe a top five guy. Kennedy has a couple kids, Slater Buckheister, Adam Gray, who might be in the top 5 to 10. I think City High is capable, and maybe Prairie as well as maybe being in the top five. 5A girls, City High is probably the best area hope there. Did I say 5A? I'm at 4A. I'm getting my sports mixed up here, but 4A girls. And I think the big storyline is from an area standpoint, Noelle Steinis from Tipton going for her fourth state championship in a row. If that would happen, she'd be only the second girl ever to do that.
Did the first three at Cal Wheatland, of course.
First three at Cal Wheat, and going to take a crack at a new class and a new uniform this year.
Yeah. And Cal Wheat's also in the regional finals for volleyball. They're
they won a five-setter at Springville a couple nights ago, and tonight they take their shot at Fort Madison and Holy Trinity, and that's going to be a big challenge.
It will be. It will be. But they will be there and see what they can get done. And All right, you're all packed, ready to go then?
Nah, we'll do that tomorrow. A lot of work between now and then.
You're going to miss some football Friday night, though. Or are you going to go find a game?
Yeah, we'll see. I thought about maybe if it would have worked, I would have gone down to maybe the second game of that Ankeny doubleheader. But I don't know. Time gets away really quick, and I'll probably be sitting in my hotel room reading everybody else's tweets this time.
There you go. Well, Jeff, keep up the great work, and we will talk to you down the line here, and read it all at thegazette.com, and appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Jeff Linder, read his stuff on the internet and on X as well. And we're going to talk some fantasy football. Get those questions ready to go for Kevin Payne coming up next at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Get them ready to go as Mark gets us ready to go with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot. They're also the sponsor of the Pick Six, which will be coming up on Friday. What do we got?
Iowa Hawkeyes won bronze medals today in the Senior World Wrestling Championships in Albania. They are Macy Kilty and Kylie Welker. Your Chicago White Sox have reportedly hired Will Venable to be the new manager. Venable has been associate manager for the Texas Rangers the last two seasons. The National Wrestling Coaches Association Division I wrestling poll is out for the first time this year. No surprise, Penn State is your unanimous number one. Iowa is second. Iowa State, sixth. UNI, 14th. And finally, Madden Greenway, a 2026 class four-star recruit in basketball, has narrowed her choices of college to Iowa, UCLA, Stanford, Kentucky, Duke, and Clemson. Greenway, of course, is the daughter of former Iowa football star Chad Greenway.
And friend of the program.
Yes.
Had to get that in there. All right. She is sought after for her talents. No doubt about that. We'll take a break. Come back. Kevin Payne ready to go when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. It's going to be mild and breezy ahead of a cold front that will bring in some more showers and thunderstorms as we head through the afternoon and this evening. Some of those storms could be strong with gusty winds, small hail, and an isolated but very low tornado threat. We are going to have some heavy rainfall that may slow you down on the streets, but hopefully rain will be beneficial. Storms will be winding down close to 10, 11 o'clock, and light rain will continue into Thursday morning. We'll then have a dry and chilly day tomorrow. That's your latest Weather First forecast.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection runs now through December 6th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
FX's English teacher.
Every single one of these essays is so bad.
An F? What is this?
With grades like this, I'm gonna have to hit the corner, sir.
From executive producers of What We Do in the Shadows.
Who's running the school? Is it us or is it them?
Them. Them.
Go sit next to Tiffany.
She told me it was offensive to learn Mandarin because you're not Japanese.
FX's English teacher is now streaming on Hulu. All new Mondays on FX.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star, and the bake sale continues as they've got great smells as you head into Quick Star. The cookies and the muffins, just like Grandma used to make. And speaking of the muffins, they are on sale for just $1.19 right now at your neighborhood Quick Star. I grabbed one on my way to work today, pumpkin spice white chocolate chip. And Isaac, it was indeed amazing, and got my day off to a tremendous start. You can drop by, get the muffins. You can get the cookies as well. Buy yourself a tin. They will fill those up with the cookies for just $9.99, those tins. And they are very, very decorative in time for the holiday season. Not only that, but you can stop in and get a Karuba coffee with your Quick Rewards card. It is only 79 cents, any size, small, medium or large, with your Quick Rewards card. So that is what they've got at your neighborhood Quick Star. 336 gym class for a Wednesday here on 1600 ESPN as we turn our attention to fantasy football. And Kevin Payne joining us from rotowire.com. If you have a question for Kevin, get it to us at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And Kevin, how'd the weekend go for you?
Not too bad. My Bills won.
That's good.
Won convincingly, too. I was worried about traveling across the country, but, man, they looked really good. I think that's kind of the Seahawks being a little bit on the downside while the Bills being a little bit on the upside. I think I split with my fantasy teams, though. I went into the night game Sunday night needing 15 fantasy points from Jordan Mason and Daniel Jones, and I did not get there. So, yeah, not really happy with Mr. Mason or Mr. Jones right now.
Let's get right to the questions, Kevin. 54-27 and a full PPR, Kincaid or Irving?
I think you go with Kincaid. I mean, he's been very consistent. The Bills kind of use him as he gets a ton of targets, and the tight end position, we've talked about this before, has been awful this season. So I really think that there's a lot of good consistency with Kincaid. Buffalo's home against the Dolphins, and I believe the Dolphins are good against wide receivers. I don't believe they're as good as tight end against tight ends. The Bills will definitely know that and try to get them the ball, so I'm going to go with Kincaid.
We did have 177 receptions and 13 touchdowns from tight ends on National Tight End Day last week, though.
Yes. Yes. It was like, I thought it was – either it was the highest of the season or a record or it was something just coincidental, or maybe that teams are finally getting back. A guy like Mark Andrews is starting to get used more, so maybe teams are finally getting back to their bread and butter, and that sometimes is the tight end. If you got a guy like Kittle or one of the elite guys, Kelsey's finally come on a little bit over the last few weeks as well.
Yeah. Greg and Epworth asking, let's see, Jaden, 1 point PPR league, Jaden Daniels or Dak Prescott? And then need two of these, DJ Moore, Metcalf, Waddle, or Laporta?
Metcalf. I think you go Metcalf if he plays. He's supposed to be back to practice tomorrow. That'll be very telling. And then I would go with DJ Moore. I think it's going to be much easier sledding. Tough matchup last Sunday. And then as far as Daniels or Dak, I think you go with Daniels. I mean, he's just been so good this season. He's another guy, too. I think he was limited in practice today. Just keep an eye on that. But right now, Dallas Cowboys just look awful. And I wonder if Mike McCarthy still has a job Monday morning if they go ahead and drop this one on the road at the Atlanta Falcons.
62-75 is in a standard scoring league and needs two of these three, Waddle, Ridley, or Addison.
I think you sit Waddle out of those guys. Did not have a good – up here – they're coming up here to Buffalo. I don't think that's a great matchup for Waddle. And we still know Tyreek's the top dog there. So I'm going to say sit Waddle out of those three. Go with Addison and go with Ridley. I expect a bounce-back game from Addison. I don't think he did too well. What was it, last Thursday night? And Ridley's been good. They're trying to force him the ball, which is exactly what they should have been doing all along. Sometimes you got to go ahead and bench your frustrations to the media, and all of a sudden, if it's a surprise, they go ahead and start giving you more targets.
Amazing how that works. Standard League for 85-93, Cade Otton or Sam Laporta? Good question there.
Yeah, it is a good question because Otten's kind of become the top wide receiver with Chris Godwin out for the season and Mike Evans banged up. He will not play again this week. I'm actually going to go ahead and say stick with Otten with that one. Laporta, I mean, it took him a while to get going. He's one of those guys, too, that, you know, it took him a few weeks to finally become a big part of this offense that he was a huge part of last year. But right now, I think, like, Cade Otton might be the top wide receiver, the top receiving option for Baker Mayfield, and for that reason, I'm going to go ahead and say go with Otten.
And tight ends hurt the Chiefs.
There you go. Yep, that too. Yep.
52-84, C.J. Stroud or Caleb Williams?
Now, that's interesting because I do think Caleb is going to bounce back. I'm going to say Caleb Williams. Stroud has a tough matchup. Here's what doesn't make any sense to me. How are the Jets 2-point favorites? I don't care that they're home. How are the Jets 2-point favorites as bad as they've been against the Houston Texans? Now, granted, no Stephon Diggs. We know he's out for the season, but I think you go with Caleb Williams here. Arizona, it's a better matchup. Arizona's not been good against the quarterback. I believe the Jets are number one against the opposing quarterbacks. Even last week, the quarterback position for the Patriots did nothing between Brissett and May. And I mean, May was getting stuff done before he got hurt. But I think that's a tough matchup for Stroud, so I'm going to say go with Caleb Williams.
There you go. 4630 asking another quarterback question with C.J. Stroud. That's C.J. Stroud or Geno Smith?
And I would go Geno Smith. Again, I think it's a better matchup. I think Stroud is really going to struggle on the road against the Jets. It's a short week, too. We know that's not enough time. Can't always be enough time to go ahead and prepare for a team. And again, the Jets are very solid against opposing quarterbacks. So I understand why everybody's asking about C.J. Stroud. So I'm going to be down on him this week. And I bet if you took a look at some of the prop numbers as far as his passing yards, I bet they're not going to be that high this week. And again, adjusting to life without Stephon Diggs as well. Next guy up, I believe, is Hutchinson. But I right now, man, it's going to be really tough for C.J. Stroud given this road matchup.
Well, let's jump ahead on the C.J. Stroud segment. 94-50, Stroud or Tua?
Oh, that's – okay, now that one's a little bit closer. Again, tough matchup for Tua going on the road, coming up here to Buffalo. We know that type of environment is going to be. The Bills' defense has largely been very good this season. So I still think you go with Tua in this matchup, though. I think he's got better weapons. And again, you guys can go ahead and rail on me next week at this time. If Stroud goes out there and throws for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, I don't see it, though. I really think that the Jets actually are going to win this one pretty easily, and Stroud's going to have a tough day. So I'm going to say Fitzstroud.
Opinion questions here. 2712 asking, they have Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, and Bryce Hall all on the same team. What do I do with that? Should I try to trade one of them? And if so, whom?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Jets.
It's a lot of Jets, yes. And we've seen how they've done so far. What I would actually try to do is I would try to trade Devontae Adams. I think Garrett Wilson is the most talented between the two of them at this stage of their careers, even though Devontae Adams, we know what he is. I haven't even looked at his numbers. Might be a Hall of Famer for all I know. But for right now, he is definitely not as good as Garrett Wilson. We just really saw that in New England. I would rather have Garrett Wilson. So hope that Adams has a good game Thursday night. Then I would go out and peddle him, put him out there and say on the trading block, hey, what can I get? Who's interested in Devontae Adams? But I would definitely not want to have all three. If the team has a bad game, they score 10 points, chances are you're not winning your fantasy matchup. So I would try to go ahead and diversify a little bit. Nothing wrong with having, though, Wilson and Hall. I like those two guys a lot. But I don't think that you need Adams as well. So hope he has a good game, and then try to trade him.
And I know it's Breece Hall. They wrote Bryce Hall. I know it's Breece Hall. So Cyclone fans, do not get on me for that. Mark, go ahead.
1250 has DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel at wide receiver. This person was offered Geno Smith for Darnell Mooney. Should I take the offer or go with Stafford from the waiver wire?
I think you go with Stafford from the waiver wire, and keep Mooney, especially given the fact, number one, Debo's on bye this week. Number two, Metcalf is still banged up. He's not a guarantee to play this week, as I said. Supposed to practice tomorrow. We'll see if that comes to fruition. And that's a good sign that he's going to try to practice tomorrow as opposed to waiting until Friday. So I do think he'll be back. But right now, Puka Nacua is back. Cooper Kupp is back. So there's nothing wrong going ahead and going with Stafford. You just look at huge numbers last week when they came back. Would not surprise. Very narrow receiving tree there. Those guys are going to get a ton of targets. So I would say I'm totally fine sticking with Stafford and holding on to Mooney. But don't be afraid with those three guys after this week, after Deebo comes back from the bye, put Mooney out there on the trading block. Try to upgrade a tight end, upgrade a running back, especially now that the bye weeks are upon us in a few weeks. I believe it might be week 11. We got six teams on bye. People are going to be scrambling to the waiver wire or scrambling for some sort of options. Don't be afraid to go ahead and take a look ahead and try to go ahead and address some needs later on down the road for the waiver wire.
Yeah, Kevin Payne.
Kevin
Payne of RotoWire.com joining us here to answer your fantasy football questions. 2030 with a defensive question. The Jets D or Baltimore?
Jets D. I can't believe I'm saying that either. And if it was like the year 2000, it would be completely opposite. But no, I think you go with the Jets D. Again, they're home. They're a favorite. They've been very good all season against the quarterback. And believe it or not, I believe Baltimore is like the worst team in the league. It's either against wide receivers or quarterbacks. And believe it or not, if you take a look at Bo Nix, he has something like only one interception in those last five games. He's actually come onto the fantasy radar because of his legs. He's got 4 rushing touchdowns. Each one of those rushing touchdowns happened in a different game. And he's put up some really good numbers. So believe it or not, both teams are at home, which is what I like. But I would go the Jets over the Ravens for defense this week.
95-95. Can we finally trust Marvin Harrison Jr. to be a dude?
Gosh, I hope so. I really expected bigger things out of him. I know he's a little bit banged up, missed the game.
Not this week, Kevin. Not this week.
Yeah. But, no, he. I really think that I think he's going to go ahead and be just fine. I still think, and you take a look, here's a good example, Keon Coleman here in Buffalo, finally coming around. Sometimes these wide receivers take them half a season to get up to speed, to get up to speed with the playbook and the speed of the game is what I'm talking about. So I would not be surprising to see Harrison be a top 10 might be a little aggressive, but maybe a top 15 to top 20 wide receiver the rest of the way, once he's provided that he's fully healthy and has a good rapport with Kyler.
Yeah. 2998 asking, up in the air about Mahomes or Cousins?
Cousins. Definitely Kirk Cousins. Mahomes, if you take a look at his numbers, they have not been good this season. I may be a Mahomes owner and know that. But you look at Cousins' number. I mean, he throws the occasional interception, but he's been putting up solid numbers all season. It's not surprising. I think you go with Kirk Cousins over Patrick Mahomes this week, especially because Dallas's defense, tons of injuries. They've given up so many points. I mean, they had a good showing for the first half against the 49ers, totally fell apart in the second half. So Kirk Cousins over Patrick Mahomes.
52-84, Caleb Williams or Matthew Stafford?
That's a good one. I would say Caleb Williams. I think it's a better matchup than Stafford going into Seattle. So Caleb Williams against the Arizona Cardinals. As I said, I expect a big bounce-back game. Tough matchup this last week on the road against Washington. We all know about the Hail Mary, but that defense for the Commanders did a great job against Caleb Williams. They've quietly been a pretty solid defensive unit, but I think that Caleb goes ahead and bounces back this week in the desert.
63-28 asking, do they pick up McConkey and drop Alan Lazard?
Yes, 100% yes, because you got Lazard's further on down the depth chart now that Adams is there. McConkey, great game Sunday, and I, of course, was playing right against him, as luck would have it. But, again, another wide receiver who's a rookie who may finally be picking things up, may go ahead and get a few more looks from Justin Herbert, who may trust him more, especially after this big game. So definitely drop Alan Lazard and go after McConkey.
Matt, the Michigan fan, has Mixon, Barkley, and Josh Jacobs in a full-point PPR. The question is, should I keep playing all three of them or try to move one of them for a top receiver to go with Reed / Dobbs, Harrison Jr., and Olave?
And Olave. Now, here's the good news for Olave. Carr was back at practice today. That's going to help, although he had a good game Sunday. It depends what it brings, and it depends, I don't have in front of me all these guys' bye weeks, and if there's going to be a problem with two or three of those guys being on bye in the same week. But I think you just keep going ahead and playing Mixon, Barkley, and Jacobs. I think those wide receivers, Harrison, we just talked about him, Dobbs and Olave, and then I think I'm missing one guy. I think they'll be just fine. There's no reason to do it unless you get an offer you can't refuse. There's no reason not to put those guys out on the trading block, see what they get. I would not trade Barkley. I would probably not trade Mixon. I might see what you can go ahead and get for Jacobs, who's coming off a good game. But there's no reason, sometimes we all want to trade and try to win the trade and be active, and that's part of the fun of fantasy football. But there's also times where you should just go ahead and stand pat and be happy with your roster, even if you have a bad week. Because remember, I have friends who hate the same, but it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So I almost would just say go ahead and stand pat unless you get an offer you can't refuse.
All right. Last two questions here. Start two, Stroud, Kelce, Otten.
Stroud, Kelce, Otten. Okay, you're definitely starting Stroud because quarterbacks typically give you a really nice floor as far as fantasy points go. Kelce and Otten, they could go two catches for 15 yards. I mean, that does happen, whereas quarterbacks – typically, you're going to get, at least 10 fantasy points, and with the upside, they have a lot more. Then it comes down to Kelce or Otten. That's really a tough question. It's like 50-50, to be honest with you. I would probably, again, go with Otten just because he seems to be the main guy right now for Tampa Bay, whereas Kelce's got to compete with those receivers. We've seen he's not really having a typically Kelce-like season. So I'm actually going to say go with Otten over and stick Kelce out of those three.
All right, last one. Grade the trade, gave up Kincaid and Bo Nix for Christian McCaffrey, who he's hoping is going to be back very soon.
there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the upside with McCaffrey is what? He's the number one fantasy player. So to give up Kincaid and Bo Nix, I mean, it depends on if it's a two-quarterback league, then obviously Bo Nix has a little bit more value. But I have no problem doing that. But again, I had somebody ask me today, should I trade McCaffrey, who I've held on to, for David Montgomery. And I said, absolutely, because David Montgomery, number one, is playing this week. Number two, we don't know for sure McCaffrey's going to be back after the bye, and we don't know for sure that he's not going to get re-injured. He's a better candidate to get re-injured than David Montgomery, but I like the upside. I would go ahead and do that deal if you're getting McCaffrey.
All right. Tell us a little bit before you go. Tell us a lot about rotowire.com.
Yeah, you can find out a lot of information, a lot of the stuff that I'm telling you about. Like Metcalf's returning tomorrow to practice is all on rotowire.com. You can sign up at rotowire.com/trial. We got notes every day. We'll keep you up to speed. That way you're not shuffling through social media or whatever. It's all very organized. Got a lot going on now that basketball's underway, hockey's underway. We cover all those sports. So when you get a chance, free 10-day trial, no credit card needed, just your email, rotowire.com/trial.
All right. Best of luck this weekend, Kevin. We'll talk next Wednesday.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You bet. And Kevin Payne's Parents brought to you by I'm On Communications. We'll take a break. Come back. Bowling Night America preview.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Randy's Flooring, Cedar Rapids Opera, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Nitro Circus is back with an all-new electrifying show. Our elite lineup features top athletes who will push the boundaries of what's possible with jaw-dropping stunts, high-flying tricks, and heart-pounding excitement. Experience world-class competition and unstoppable energy that will blow your mind and keep the entire family on the edge of their seats. Don't miss Nitro Circus November 3rd, live at Alliant Energy Powerhouse. Get your tickets now at creventslive.com.
The silly moments, the proud moments, even the hard moments. They're what make life remarkable. And they're why Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield is here for every moment. Committed to making healthcare better, more affordable, with more choices for care. And service and coverage that give you peace of mind no matter what comes your way. So you can show up for every tender moment, every brave moment, and every wouldn't miss it for the world moment. Knowing that blue is here for you. Go to walmart.com/every moment to find a plan right for you.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. And it is a Wednesday, and it is a Bowling Night in America. And this preview brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of Bowling Night in America. Visit the pro shop and give them a call about open bowling and globe bowling. And we face a new foe tonight for the first time.
Well, it's a new sponsor, but familiar names, as you know, Scott. 3C Plumbing is the opponent for the Rusty Nails tonight on lanes 25 and 36. The team includes Dan Healy and Darren Bloomquist, who happen to hold the top two averages in the league this year, but that just means the old Rusty Nails will get some pins.
Finally. And we will take them. And welcome John into the fold tonight after coaching Metro Youth and his son this past fall. So he gets his debut tonight. So definitely looking forward to that. And should be another good night on the lanes. And if you are in need of some something to help your game out, certainly stop on by, see what they have for you at the pro shop.
They have everything but a psychologist, Scott. give them a call at 362-0136. You can also get a lot of information at the website, MayCityBowlCR.com.
I'm sure Mike Robinson would help you with that, with your psychological outlook as far as bowling is concerned. If you ask a few questions, just tell him it's Scott and Mark sent you. World Series end tonight, yes or no?
I don't think so. I think Gerrit Cole's going to get it done.
I'm with you. I think it goes back to Los Angeles for Game 6. Isaac, yay or nay?
Yes.
Yes. He says yes. I'm going to go no. I think Garrett Cole wins tonight. I think the Yankees, that two-run home run off Kopech the other night, kind of lit them up a little bit, so we shall see. They will be without two of their super fans tonight, though. Spencer on Sports, coming your way next.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has